Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up? Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 88. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude.
Been a good week for USA hockey. Good week for the Sharks.
It has been a good week, dude. It's been a good week, but I just... Can I say something real quick?
If you must.
All right, dude. I just want to let you know that I've let my family down, and I regret those transgressions with all my heart.
Uh-huh.
I've not been true to my values and my behavior my family deserves.
Uh-huh.
I strive to be a better person. I hope Elon accepts my apology.
Okay, yeah.
And then at some point, I will return to golf. I'm not sure when that will be.
When you say return to golf, have you ever played golf?
Dude, I'm reading.
Oh, sorry.
The stories in particular that physical violence played any role in the car accident were utterly false and malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Go Sharks.
He said that. He said, I missed the Go Sharks.
He did. He said it at the end. A lot of people had tuned out by that point.
So Tiger did say Go Sharks.
He did. Well, yeah. Good. I wonder what drew more ratings, the U.S.-Canada game or the Tiger Woods press conference?
Oh, man. I hope U.S.-Canada.
Probably not. Probably not. That's assuming that it would be on live. Thanks, NBC.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about U.S.-Canada today. We have a nice interview with Mark Purdy, who is in Vancouver covering the Olympics for the Mercury News. So we're going to have that in just a couple minutes. And then after that, we'll have some emails, because we got some good emails this week. But of course, the big story is U.S. versus Canada. U.S. stages an upset, as Mark Purdy calls it in his column, a stunner, but not a miracle, which I think is a pretty apt description. The U.S., I described it as will versus skill. They just seemed grittier. You know, they just seemed like they were quicker and grittier, and they were willing to work harder for the puck than Canada was.
Yeah, you know what? In a lot of ways, it reminded me of Sharks teams from probably the pre-Joe Thornton era.
Right.
You know, like those Ron Wilson teams that sort of willed their way, you know, into those types of playoff games. And they played hard, and Ryan Miller was great. And luckily, you know, they were able to hold on. In another way, they reminded me of the Sharks, because in those last 2 minutes, it was like a shooting gallery out there.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure that they were going to blow it.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't clear the zone. Canada just kept peppering away at Ryan Miller. You just expected that one of those amazing skill guys was going to get a goal, but they didn't, dude. And it was really, really exciting. And the empty net goal by Kessler.
That was fantastic.
Was great. And who's having a better Olympics right now than Brian Rafalski?
Nobody.
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 Nobody, dude.
Yeah. Except maybe Jonas Hiller, who won again.
Well, we'll see. His Olympics, I think, will be defined by their performance tomorrow against the U.S.
That's right.
And if they're able to keep that game close, then, you know, he's going to join the ranks of the elite, you know, international goaltenders. But mm-hmm. if the U.S. kind of blitzes him 5-0, then it'll just be sort of a shoulder shrugger. I mean, beating Belarus in the shootout is nothing to write home about.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the Kostitsyns. I'm just going to skate it right up to your pads.
I'm Ruslan Soleil. Anyway. But and Canada clearly was not happy with that result. They really took it out on Germany tonight, beating them 8-1 with Joe Thornton scoring the first goal. That line still working pretty well together, I'd say. There's definitely some good possessions. You see Joe distributing the puck, and Marlowe hit the post. And
Joe's Heatley taking the heat again, though, dude.
Yeah,
he's taking the heat again.
There's nothing they can do. They're going to take the heat regardless, I think.
Guess.
Unless, you know, he is obviously and far and away the best player, and it's hard to be the best player on a team with Sidney Crosby, Jerome Iginla, Rick Nash, all these great players. He has to be the best player, or people are going to rip him and say he's not doing enough. It's just, that's kind of the way I see it.
You just wonder, like, in those 7 shots that Marlowe took against U.S. on mm-hmm. Sunday, how many of those came on passes from Thornton? If why isn't Marlowe the choker? He didn't score 7 times, you know, because then Thornton would have had 7 assists. I just think it's a little, I'm just getting kind of tired of it, actually.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So Joe only has 2 points in 4 games.
Right.
Okay. Big deal. You know,
right.
Let's move on. The real definer is tomorrow. Canada, Russia.
Yeah.
That is must see.
That's absolutely
hockey
have
viewing.
To watch it.
Absolutely must see. And I'm sure NBC will have it on a 6-hour delay.
And I got, I'm sure they do. They are going to have it on it. Oh, no, it's the U.S. game that's on a delay. Can you believe it? The
yes.
U.S. game is on tape delay tomorrow.
I can believe it because the Olympics broadcasting is being run by a league of morons.
Yeah, it's absolutely
it's really, really sad.
I wish it was on CNBC or MSNBC or something.
I think you can watch them live online
okay.
on NBCOlympics.com. So okay. I would suggest that to people who are looking for live Olympic hockey tomorrow, which would be Wednesday.
Well, dude, we're going to get to the Mark Purdy interview, but I have to ask you this one question, which a friend of mine texted me. Regarding the Russia game tomorrow, is there a better line in the Olympics, or actually maybe anywhere in the world, than Pavel Datsyuk, Yevgeny Malkin, and Alexander Ovechkin? Is
yes.
there a better line than that?
Yes.
What is it?
Gotch, Sturm.
And who is the third?
Jochen Hecht. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're better.
They're better.
No.
No.
There's no better line.
And it's not even close. It's not even really close, I don't think.
What's their second line? Their second line's got Kovalchuk on it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's a real bummer.
Talk about a choker. Kovalchuk. Yeah.
Listen, man, that's going to be a great game tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's interesting because they're great in goal, great up front, but you look at their defense and you think to yourself, you know?
They're going to have to win 6-5.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how it's going to have to go, and Nabby's going to have to play a great game tomorrow. And I think Mark Purdy brings up a real interesting point in the interview is, as Sharks fans, who are we rooting for tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, listen to the interview and then you can send us an email and we'll talk about it after the other side here.
Yeah.
We welcome to the podcast again, Mark Purdy, a columnist for the Mercury News and actually in Vancouver watching the Olympics, not exactly as we speak, but he's in Vancouver. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Actually, I'm in Whistler right now.
You're in Whistler.
But I hope to God it's my last trip up here. That's it's about the 2 to 3 hour bus ride up from Vancouver, and it's where all the Alpine events are. But with the grace of God, tomorrow it'll be hockey, and then hockey the day after that, and then hockey the day after that, and then hockey the day after that, which I'm very much ready for.
Well, last time we talked to you, you just came back from a trip to Louisiana watching a San Jose State football away game. So would you consider this a slight upgrade in location?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. You know, the funny thing, and look, and I know readers don't care, but the funny thing is you don't really get to see, when you cover an event like the Olympics, it sounds strange, but you don't get to see a lot of the city. What you see is the sports venues. So I've seen a lot of the GM place where the hockey is being played, which is a Vancouver Canucks home rink, and the Pacific Coliseum, which is where the Canucks used to play, but now that's where the figure skating is. And this mountain up here in Whistler, and the luge track here in Whistler, and the curling rink in Vancouver.
Nice.
And trying to do the speed skating rink in Vancouver. But, you know, you don't really get to kind of soak in the whole city because you're busy going from event to event. But, you know, that's the job I signed on for, and I love seeing the events. It does make me wish maybe I decided to maybe stay an extra day or two after the Zoo so I could really see the city.
Now,
it's a pretty place. It's a pretty place.
We want to talk some hockey because I know Mike's probably the only other person who cares about curling.
Hey.
All right.
But hey now.
Listen, tell us about being at the game on Sunday for the U.S.-Canada matchup. You know, you wrote that it was a stunning win. Do you think that they could do it again if the challenge arose to beat Canada? And what did they do that was so perfect in that game to win?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't know what you guys thought of Ron Wilson, okay, when he was the Sharks coach. I thought he was a pretty good coach, and I think the players just got tired of hearing the same old stuff again and again. And so I think he grates on guys over the long term. But in a short tournament like this, I think he's a very good coach for a short tournament like this, because here's what he does. You know, he assembles the guys he's got, and he figures out what each of them maybe do or do the best. And he gives them very simple instructions. You know, this is what you do. This is what I want you to do. This is our plan. And it's easy to see what the USA plan is. They just want to be as fast as possible, get the puck down in the offensive zone as quickly as possible, and just go to go. You know, go to the net and on the defensive end, they keep the guys to the outside. And when you get the puck, go the other way real quick. And it's very simple, but he's got this young group of guys. The average age, they have the youngest team here, 25.6 years or something, by far the youngest team here. And so they've got a lot of energy, and they throw those young guys on the ice, and they just go up and down the ice at a million miles an hour. And it was the one thing I think Canada was worried about, and that really came to pass because, and of course, they got a great goalie, Ryan Miller. So, you know, Canada comes down the ice, can't score against Miller, and then USA gets the puck and goes the other way. And a lot of times they don't get quality shots down there, but they move the puck down to the other end of the rink. You know, they were outchanced almost 2-1 in that game against Canada, but they had the puck a decent amount of time, and we're going real fast with it. And it's a very simple system. Meanwhile, I think Canada, now they as everyone expected, they beat Germany tonight pretty easily. I think it was, when I last time I checked, it was 6-1.
I think 8-1 was the final. We just
8-1 is the
it,
final, yeah. But okay. Well, the press tent at the ski area, I was watching it, and then when I left, it was 6-1. Now I'm down here in the village of Whistler. But anyway. You know, Canada is still, those guys still all kind of seem to be figuring out, well, either that or Babcock, Mike Babcock, the coach, is still trying to figure out how, he's a matchup type coach. And so he's like trying to figure out these matchups. And meanwhile, the USA just gets the puck and goes. Very simple. And Babcock's trying to play these matchups. That was really interesting. You guys watched the game Sunday, right?
Sure.
It was clear to me, you know, they wanted to play the Sharks, the Shark line, Pete Lee, Thornton, and Marlowe. It was obvious Babcock wanted to play them against the Sharks, or the USA's fourth line, which is the Pavelski line, with Malone and Kessel, right?
Right.
So because Wilson throws those guys out, or at the start of the game throws that the Pavelski line out as the fourth line, the Sharks line didn't get on the ice until, you know, the fourth line on Sunday. They only had like five shifts in the first period, because what happened was, Ron Wilson said, well, you know, the Shark line for Canada has been their most consistent and productive line. I don't know how many points they got tonight. I saw Thornton scored a force goal. But anyway, so when Ron saw that, he just said, well, I just won't put the Pavelski line up there that much, because it'll keep the shark line off for Canada. And it worked in the first period. I think the Shark line only was out there like five shifts, maybe six. And then Babcock finally, you know, he figured out what Wilson was doing. And in the second and third periods, up the ice time, and I think Thornton had as much ice time as anybody, particularly in the third period. And the most interesting stat to me, in many ways, is that at least before tonight's game, the only guy on Canada who had taken more shifts than Patrick Marleau was Sidney Crosby. So Babcock obviously likes him, but he's trying to figure out all these combinations, Babcock. Whereas Wilson is just sending the guys out, you know, go play your butts off. Nobody's expecting us to win. Skate fast, shoot the puck.
Well, it's working out so well.
I didn't answer your question. Could they do it again?
Yeah,
they could do it again. They could do it again. I mean, as long as Miller can keep stopping shots,
right?
Why not? But I think you'd probably, if you had to pick the game, if they play again, you'd pick Canada probably. But, you know, that may never happen. That would have to happen in the gold medal game.
That's right.
The way the tournament's set up.
All right, so the U.S., as you just said, still does have quite a road to hoe if they were going to play Canada or even Russia or Sweden in the gold medal game. So on the way there, who do you think is the bigger threat? It looks like it's probably going to be either Finland or the Czech Republic. Which do you think is more dangerous?
I think the Czech Republic. I mean, I think I like that roster. And but it's a far easier path than the other side of the bracket. But don't rule out Switzerland. Now, Switzerland had a tough time today. I saw beat Belarus in overtime. But, you know, Switzerland took Canada overtime, and the USA beat Switzerland in the preliminary round 3-1. But it was a close game until, you know, into the third period. So now it's an advantage, I guess, that Switzerland had to play tonight and the USA rested. But, you know, beating Switzerland won't be easy. And then I think if you had to pick between Finland and Czech, you'd want to probably play Finland. Finland did not look good against Sweden. I stayed for that game Sunday night, and Sweden just, you know, didn't let them do anything. So I don't know, but I haven't, you know, the truth is I haven't thought that deeply about that issue. I'm thinking about Canada, Russia tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's going to be
a hell of that. Yeah,
that's going to be the matchup that a lot of people have been watching, waiting for. You know, well, that's one.
A lot of people thought it was going to be the gold medal matchup. And instead, the way, because Canada and Russia didn't take care of business in the preliminaries, they got to play in the quarterfinals, which means one of those two teams will not win a medal, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've never seen Jonas Hiller steal any games from anyone, so I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't buy into it. No, that matchup scares me tomorrow, and maybe we're being a little presumptuous to say that they're going to go right by Switzerland. It should be interesting. Now, jumping out of hockey here, what has been the most surprising event that you've covered that you found entertaining that maybe before you were not sure you were going to enjoy it?
Well, you know, I'm an old guy, so I've covered a lot of this stuff before. This is my 11th Olympics and my 4th Winter Olympics. I mean, it's a kick to go to curling here because curling is huge in Canada, and the Canadian curlers are like rock stars here. And I was riding the subway home the other night with this seed farmer from Alberta, and he had his Canadian curling shirt on, autographed by the curling team. And he said, "Yeah, I went to that ring. I was within 10 feet of whatever the female skip is from Canada. I think her name is Bernard. Mary Bernard. I was within 10 feet of her." He was so excited. Because you go, it's this rink in a cute little neighborhood, and in the middle of this park, and it seats maybe 4,000 people, and they jam people in there, and they're stomping their feet and cheering and everything. And and the curlers kind of look around like, "Well, what's going on here?" You know, and so that's been fun. You know, I haven't been up to any of the what I call the loop-de-loop events. You know, those the ones where they get on the snowboard and go upside down and stuff. I haven't been up to see any of those because I've been covering the more conventional stuff. But I thought that you guys have been watching on. I wasn't there, but it was just on TV that ski cross and snowboard cross looks pretty wild, where they're running the kind of the obstacle course down the hill. And but I think I was covering something else that night. But just stuff I've seen in person. I mean, I didn't expect the curling thing to be as raucous as it was. But I'll tell you this: you know what? If I had $10 million to invest in a TV project or whatever, I would put together a curling league with, you know, because and have like a 1 hour curling show every week with mixed doubles, because the women of the curling. A lot of them very good looking. Russian women, you know. I mean, you know, and the guys are, you know, the one thing I noticed from having covered curling, you know, well, previous Olympics, I think it's been in like now this is maybe the third or fourth Olympics, is the curlers are out in pretty good shape. And they, you know, they dress kind of cool. Did you see the Norway guys' pants and stuff?
Yeah, they got crazy pants.
But I mean, are you telling me that if you had good looking women doing curling, that people wouldn't watch that instead of poker? I mean,
are you
on.
Saying there needs to be a dudes on curling show?
Yeah, why not?
Did you watch John Schuster like miss 8 shots? Because I've actually been watching a lot of the U.S. matches, and it was a very disappointing U.S. performance. I don't know if we want to get off too much on a tangent here.
No, they're choking dogs. The USA curlers, they're choking dogs.
Okay, I'm glad you said
shame,
it, so I didn't have
the
to.
The shame of a great nation.
Is John Schuster the Joe Thornton of curling?
Oh, man, you're tough. Well, you know, they replaced him one day, and they won. You know, they replaced him with a 22-year-old guy who's got droopy kind of hair and diamond-studded earrings and stuff, and was 22. Afterwards, I asked, "So do chicks dig the guys with the brooms?" And he said, "Yeah, we do all right. We do all right."
The new generation.
So, yeah. So anyway, what was the question?
Curling was the answer. That was the right answer. What was the most
entertaining? I mean, everything becomes kind of a blur after a while. So, I mean, you know, the figure skating I'm constantly amused by, just the outfits and all that stuff. And Evgeny Plushenko, the Russian guy who didn't win the gold medal, was like the sorest loser here. You know, he's, you know, basically said the judges gave it to the other guy because I already have a gold medal. And, really, really sore guy. I try to think who he would compare with in the NHL, but you know, this whole thing is so different than everything I do on a regular basis. I mean, even the hockey is different. It's a whole different feel. I hope you guys get to come see Olympic hockey at some point. I mean, it's a whole different feel. I mean, after the Russia, it's all going to blur. After the Russia-Czech game on Sunday, Nabokov played a great game, I thought, and you know, very intense. That was the one you probably saw the highlight where Ovechkin just decks Jagr at the red line.
Right.
And after the game, you know, the Russian guys flood on the ice, and like I counted, three of them hugged Nabokov, like a full hug. You know, usually it's just the banging the head and the, you know, slapping hands and stuff, but they were hugging him. And that's, and talking with the Navi after the game, I mean, you can tell he is just really into it. And then, of course, the crowds are different, too, because, you know, they're waving flags and chanting the names of their countries, and it's a whole different feel than the NHL stuff. But just isn't, I mean, Pavelski, you know, I talked to him after the game Sunday, you know, and he says, just like the playoffs, like, you know, it was like a game seven. It's a pretty neat, I mean, I covered the 1980 Miracle on Ice game, and this is not as intense as that. I mean, that's a one-time only in your life thing that's ever going to happen. But you know, the I don't know, the cheering and the, I just kind of, you know, it had kind of the same feel as that. Only, you know, Canada's not our evil empire enemy.
Right.
But you know, the Canadians were really. That was really, I don't want to say a shock to them, but they were taken aback by that, I think. I don't think they expected that kind of, they certainly didn't expect the result.
Well, I think we're certainly going to be rooting for Canada to make it all the way to the gold, because I think it's probably the Sharks, maybe players.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Yeah, well, let me ask you guys a question. You know,
sure.
I get a lot of emails saying, you know, oh, this will be, oh, if Canada flames out, you know, it's going to be awful for the Sharks moving ahead or anything. Well, if Canada flames out, it'll be because Nabokov played a great game, right?
Probably.
So what do you want? Do you want the Shark line to light up Navi tomorrow night and ruin his confidence? Or do you want Navi to stone him and, you know, supposedly... And the Shark line has been the best thing Canada's had going for it. So I don't buy into the whole, you know, they're bragging down Canada with them. It's just the opposite. I mean, you know, Ryan Getzlaff has not been very good at all.
No.
And Corey Perry's been horrible. And
I think I'm enjoying, you know, that, though.
Yeah, right. Right. So, I mean, you know, take your pick. I mean, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that Canada losing is a bad omen for the Sharks, but Navi winning isn't, you know? I mean,
right.
You know, so...
I would still pick...
Here's the most unlikely thing of all that would be a cool column to write for me. What if of all the Sharks that go, the guy who wins the gold medal is Douglas Murray?
Right.
It could happen.
It could happen. Speaking only for myself, I'd still pick Canada to win because I think Navi can come back from a loss. And he's not necessarily painted with that brush of being a playoff choker the way Joe Thornton is. And for whatever reason, I think it might be better on Joe to see him with a gold medal than Nabokov. But... You're right. It's either way it goes, the next game is going to leave some Sharks pretty disappointed.
Either way,
yeah.
Though, I'm glad that Thomas Greiss is just going to be rested. That's all I care about.
How'd you like that? You know, Germany, what a pathetic, country in terms of, they can't even buy Greiss a goalie mask that goes with the German uniform.
I know,
right?
that was shameful.
He has to wear his teal shark mask.
Shameful to see him
German
give up
colors.
Eight goals tonight in that teal mask. It made me feel like they were playing the Blackhawks, Mark.
Oh.
Well, what it looked to me was like a Tuesday morning practice at Sharks Ice.
It was pretty rough.
There were so many open guys in the slot in that game. I don't know what Germany was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, Germany has just been awful. Their coach, Uwe Krupp, he's not going to be the coach next time. So you guys watched the game. I wasn't able to watch it that close. How did the Shark line do tonight, okay?
Yeah, Joe had the first goal. So it was, they looked pretty effective all night. Marlowe hit the post late in the third. Healy had chances. Mm-hmm. It was good, but... You know, they seem to be rolling all the lines, so you don't see a lot of, they seem to take the first shift on most of the power plays, though. So I think that they're doing fine, except for Patrice Bergeron. He doesn't look good.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mark, we're going to ask you one straight vanilla Sharks question because we are getting close to the trade deadline and we might see a flurry of activity because the Sharks are playing their next home game just a week from today, next Tuesday.
Pretty amazing.
Do you think Doug Wilson, we've been talking about sort of a, you know, there's two ways to go here. It's a stay the course situation for the Sharks or what Doug has been calling respect the window and that the Sharks Stanley Cup window may be closing. If you were going to be Doug Wilson, if you were switching places, would you stay the course or would you respect the window and make a big move, maybe for a defenseman or whatever you think the Sharks need?
Well, what would you define as a big move? I mean, I wouldn't trade one of the top six forwards for sure. And, Doug is here and I talked to him Sunday, you know, and I kind of went there, but he just said, look, I can't talk about that. I'm here with my son watching the game. So you got to respect that. Right.
Sure.
But I mean, I don't know the new D guy, how good do you think he is? You know, the guy that they got, what's his name?
Voline. Nick Voline. Yeah. He's a number four, number five guy. And we're talking about maybe
well, somebody you can trust back there. You're talking about like a point producer back there, right?
We're talking about a Cabrera. We're talking about a damn Ham Hughes.
Yeah.
We're talking about
so what do you got? What are you going to give up to get him?
Setoguchi and a first round pick. You know, or
I wouldn't give up. I would not do that. And if I can tell you how Doug works though, because you know I've covered him since he was the team captain. Here's the way it works. And can we stop after this because I do want to get it.
Yeah. This is the last question.
No, I know. I'm having fun, but. The way Doug runs the operation is, you know, have I ever talked to you guys about the ghost roster? He has a ghost roster.
Yes.
And what happens? This is why the Sharks have been a very successful franchise in W's and L's over the years, despite their, we all know about the playoffs. But after every season, he and his scouts and his pro personnel people sit down and they go over the 20, you know, there's 23 spots on the roster or whatever. And they put at each of those spots, they don't put names. What they put is qualities of what they want in each spot, like what they want their third line left winger to do and be, and what they want their fifth defenseman to do and be. And they define all the qualities they want out of each position. Then they go through the whole National Hockey League. And they look at every player on every roster and say, does this guy fit the qualities we want in any of those slots? And maybe a guy is playing like, you know, on the second left wing for another team, but they think he has the qualities of a fourth left wing for the Sharks, right? So they put him there. And they create what they call a ghost roster. So they go through every National Hockey League team and do that. And so they have this ghost roster sitting there. And then of course they do it, you know, for the draft in a different sense. But since we're talking about the trade deadline and trading for guys, this is what's relevant. So they have that. So if Doug feels they need a position, let's say you're talking about a number two or three defenseman, maybe.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, all right. So he's going to go to that ghost roster and he's going to say, who do we have down there on that ghost roster at the number two or three defenseman? Who on other teams do we have that would we think fits what we want? Then he'll go and he'll call those teams and say, look, you know, is this guy available? And what would you want if we want him? And likewise, if another team calls and says, hey, we've got this guy, we'd like to trade him to you for this guy, he can again go to the ghost roster and say, do we even want to talk to this guy? And that allows Doug really right up to the last minute to, you know, make trades because they've already decided who they'd like on their team. It's just a matter of what they got to give up to get them. And then you go to the other side of when they have those meetings and say, okay, what do we project Setoguchi out to be in 2 years, 3 years? And is he going to be worth trading? So Doug already knows what trades he would make. It's just a matter of, you know, what the other teams would want. And, I don't know their prospects to know enough. I'm sure Doug would give up some prospects and a draft pick for somebody like you're talking about. But I don't think he would give up anybody on the current young guys roster, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's my opinion.
Mark, thanks for the insight. We really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time out from Vancouver to talk to us. Mark Purdy, columnist for the Mercury News. Thanks for taking the time.
Sure.
Talk to you later.
Always enjoy it, guys. We'll do it again. It'll be fun.
That'd be great. Thanks so much.
Bye, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yeah.
Dude, good interview. Lots of good insight from Mark there.
Good stuff. I hope he's enjoying some of the delicious salmon fish and chips up there in Vancouver.
And I forgot to ask him if he was going to get to go see the 4x10 kilometer cross-country relay, because that's only, you know, 2.5-3 hours in the snow. It's not bad.
Dude, I do not get how both you guys like curling.
Yeah, bring it.
I don't get it.
It's fun.
What's fun about it, dude? I tried to watch it. I ran down the street when it was cold this morning and kicked a rock. Is that curling?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
My point exactly. There's no one out there cheering for me.
I don't know. Who's the curler haters? I know there's some. I sparred with one on the blog.
I don't hate curling. I don't get it.
I know. That's kind of one of the reasons why I like it, because I'm trying to figure it out. They use all this impenetrable jargon that I don't understand. They talk about hog lines and drawing and picking things, and it doesn't make any sense to me. So that's why I kind of watch it. It's kind of like chess. It's fun. I don't know if it's necessarily a sport. It's really more of a game. It's sort of like shuffleboard, but slightly more athletic, or maybe considerably more athletic, but still.
Well, next time you run down the street, dude, I'm going to chase after you with a broom. Okay. Or just go run in front of you and kind of scrub the street.
That'll help me run faster.
Make you go faster.
Nice. Well, we got several questions, but because the interview took up such a good amount of time, we're going to waylay some of them to next week. But we did get one question, or rather a set of questions, from Jeremy.
Yes.
So he is... You know, he asks us the 20 questions with Drew segment. For those of you that watch Shark Bite, sometimes Drew does sort of a rapid fire 20 questions action here. And he has 20 questions for each of us answer in a similar fashion.
Actually, it's about 19.
It's 19 because we had to cut one.
We had to cut one.
It's a family show.
Yeah, okay. But we appreciate your spirit.
Yeah. We
All right.
All right, dude. Yeah. You
go.
You
want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, dude, the first question is Stanley Cup playoffs or Olympic hockey?
Stanley Cup playoffs for sure.
Absolutely, me too.
Just because of overtime.
Yeah,
Stanley Cup playoffs overtime is the best.
Yeah, I think the Olympic hockey will grow on me now, but I'm going to say Stanley Cup playoffs for sure.
Okay, so here's the next question, which requires sound effects.
Hamburgers.
Or?
Ooh.
Dude, I'm definitely going to say...
Ooh.
See, I'm definitely going...
Hamburgers.
I just love
hamburgers.
You can't really go wrong with...
Hamburgers.
Or?
Ooh.
Okay, dude. In USA, Canada, were you rooting for Team Canada's Sharks line or rooting against them?
Well, I was rooting for USA, but I admit I made a mistake. When Danny Heatley scored, I cheered by mistake. I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, wait. I mean, no. I literally did that.
Because it's
hard for me not to root for those guys.
I did too. And it is, I think it's almost impossible for me to root against them because I want them to do well.
That's right.
But most importantly, like we said before, I want no injuries.
Yes.
But in the end, yes, USA wins, but they win 5-4 with the Sharks guys scoring all the other four goals.
Right. That's how I would choose to. Okay. Dude, you could magically swap the NHL contracts of Boyle and Pronger. Yay or nay?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say nay as well.
Yeah. But that is a tough one because Pronger has been a winner that everywhere he's gone. But
yeah.
Boyle's younger, and I believe in Danny Boyle.
Yeah, Pronger's got a 7-year contract, and he's over 35. The Sharks will be stuck with that forever.
Dude, looks better in teal in 2011, Phil Kessel or Patrick Marleau?
I'm still going to go Patrick Marleau. Phil Kessel has had some injury problems in the past. He's had some illness issues in the past. I still go with Patrick Marleau.
I'm going Ilya Kovalchuk.
Okay.
Now, between those two, I'm also going to say Patrick Marleau. More consistent performer, even though he's going to be a little bit older.
Yeah. Better interview dude, Nicholas Vallin or Mark Smith?
Mark Smith.
Ooh.
Because he talked to us.
Yeah, that's true. Nicholas Vallin would never talk to us. No. Although maybe we could get an interview with him and get him to say hamburgers again.
Dude, these YouTube videos where they're dubbing over Danny Heatley pretending to demand a trade from Team Canada to Team Germany. Funny or stupid?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I agree. That's just good fun right there.
That is, it's funny if you haven't seen it, someone posted a link to it on our Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So go to our Facebook page, become a fan, and click the link because it's some funny stuff with good Canadian accents.
All yes, right. Yes. Very good.
Very good. Actually, they might be actual Canadians, so, you know, it's probably not for real. Okay, dude, what is your favorite song? What is your favorite song?
My favorite song? My favorite song goes a little something like this.
Ooh, all the way to San Jose. We've outspent to the cab.
It's good.
It's a good one.
You know, I got to think about mine because... Oh, wait. No, I got it. I got it. Here it is. Ooh, all the way to San Jose. You know, that's... It just doesn't get...
It's gold, Jeremy, and we're expecting another one from
you.
Yeah,
we want another one.
Dude, Stockton Thunder or Olympic women's hockey gold medal game?
I'm going to go women's gold hockey. Women's Olympic game. Although they can't hit, which I think is total crap. I mean, they're in good shape. They can take contact. There is contact. They should be able to line up each other and blast them into the boards like anybody else. But it's good. It's good hockey. And, of course, it's the Olympic stage. So I'd rather watch U.S. versus Canada women's. If I had to watch a game a week, I would watch the Stockton Thunder. But one time only, Olympic women's.
I'm going to say Stockton Thunder versus the Olympic women's gold medal winner.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. All right, dude. Ice dancing or Super Bowl halftime show featuring The Who?
This is not a real question, is it?
Of course it is. It's a tough question.
Dude, I'm going to watch The Who.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big Who fan.
You watch The Who?
I like The Foo Fighters too, but I am a Who fan, and it was a little embarrassing to see him because, you know, I remember them back in the day. Well, not that far back in the day, but still, enough.
I can't bring myself to watch the ice dancing on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Or Canada in the quarterfinal game? Who are you going to root for?
That's the game so far, the Olympics, other than U.S.-Canada. I'm still going to go Canada. I mean, they looked mad against Germany today. They made Germany look awful. Of course, Russia's not going to be as difficult, but Canada has so much offensive firepower. If they can keep the cycle going, they could easily overpower the Russia defense, which I think is their weakest aspect.
I'm going to say Canada too, just by the simple fact that I think more of our boys winning the gold medal is a good thing. And Naby is, you know, so even keeled that I don't think it will affect him as much as it will the other guys not winning.
Okay, Russia top six versus Canada top six.
Russia top six.
Yeah, there's no question about that either.
Just based on their top line.
Yeah, it's just too good.
If Thornton's play versus U.S. was a sign of things to come in the playoffs, dude, can't wait or can't watch?
Still can't wait. It's the Sharks, man. Sharks in the playoffs?
Yeah. I'm going to say can't wait because I don't think it was that bad. I think he's getting knocked a little bit right now unfairly. Like I said, you know, Marlowe, seven shots. How many of those came from Thornton? If he had scored two of those, he would have had 2 points. So, you know, how are we going to know that? We can't know that.
Dude, do you know who is the highest scorer in Canada Olympic history?
Danny Heatley.
It is Danny Heatley.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, this is somebody we're going to be watching in the playoffs. So Danny Heatley is a performer.
He's a hack.
If Thornton stumbles a little bit, somebody else might step up. Last year, nobody stepped up when Joe wasn't doing well.
He's a choker.
All right. Dude, Ron Wilson, stay or go?
Ron Wilson, stay or go? I've got to say stay so far.
Yeah. As U.S. coach?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you say? Dude, they're 3-0.
Yeah, okay, I'm going with Mark Purdy.
I'm going
with Mark Purdy. I'll stay. He'll stay.
Okay, dude, Brian Burke, love him or hate him?
Love him. I love how he left Mike Modano off. You know, I think Jeremy Roenick made a good point when he said he maybe shouldn't have Chris Drury, although he ate crow and admitted it on the air the other day. I love the youth and enthusiasm of this team. I think it is a great way to set up the team because he knew he couldn't match Canada skill for skill, so he had to beat them a different way, and he chose the right way.
I guess I love him, too. I just love his simple arrogance. I like his hair.
That's right. Dude, biggest USA surprise thus far?
I'm going to go David Backes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that he's been physical. He's been everything the St. Louis Blues really wanted him to be.
Right.
And he's totally shown up on the international stage. I like him as a player. I'm going to say David Backes.
I think saying Brian Rafalski is too easy, so I'm going to go Ryan Callahan, actually. Mm-hmm. Ryan Callahan is a guy that I never really noticed that much playing on the Rangers, and I really notice him playing for the U.S., and I'm happy he's there.
Yeah, you know aggressive forechecker, great bottom six forward, good player.
Something you learned that surprised you in reading Theo Fleury's Playing with Fire, dude.
Ooh, we got to answer this question so delicately.
I'm not
going to
be delicate.
I'm surprised to learn that you can drive to Calgary in 9 hours when you've done an entire eight ball.
I'm surprised that you can find crystal meth in San Jose so quickly and easily after a San Jose versus Calgary game.
Dude, 5 years from today, Demers or Petrecki?
That's tough because Petrecki hasn't been playing so hot. I'm staying with the big boy. I'm staying with Petrecki, although I'm not as sure now as I was earlier in the year.
We can't jump off the Petrecki train. I'm going to say Petrecki, too. Dude, you got to give him some time.
What's the first thing you do after the Sharks win the Stanley Cup in Game 7 in overtime?
Cry.
Yeah.
openly weeping in Mike's arms. I think that's what it will be. And then we'll probably be roaming the streets of downtown.
Right.
Just
for days.
Trying to find our way home. Our way to touch the cup. Dude.
Yes. It would be jumping up and down, falling over, jumping up and down, crying, rinse and repeat.
Yep. Dude, last question. USA winning gold or Sharks making it past the second round?
Sharks.
What's more likely to happen?
More likely or what do I want?
Oh, no. No, I think I read this as more likely to happen.
More likely to happen. Well, actually, it's the same answer for me either way. Sharks making it past the second round. That's the answer. U.S. has to beat either Sweden, Canada, or Russia in the gold medal game. They're going to be huge dogs. Sharks aren't going to be dogs in either of their first two series.
Well, hold the phone.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, because it's very possible the Sharks are going to draw Detroit in the second round.
Don't tempt me. Don't tell me.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I'm going to say, I can't not say Sharks going past the second round, even though that may be just the homer answer. But I wouldn't be surprised if the USA stumbled against the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised.
You know what I say?
Hamburgers.
Good show, dude.
Thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. We'll be back again next week, same time, same place. We will get your emails, questions at dudesonhockey.com. We had to waylay a couple, but we'll get back to them next week. Talk to you then.
USA.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.